And let's start out with a word of prayer. And again, I'd encourage each one of you to, while I'm praying, that you'd be asking God too. God, show me what you're like. What are you like? And if you're sitting here and you're a little skeptical still, you don't know about all this, you don't know what you believe, you don't know what you should believe, well then be honest with God. Be frank with him. Say, God, I don't know what to believe. Like, show me. Now, this is not going to be a five-star, light show or anything like that. But if you're willing to listen, God's willing to show you himself, because that's his purpose for you. So let's pray and ask God that he would speak to each one of us. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you now for your goodness that you show us day by day, even though so often we're ignorant of it, we don't pay attention to it, but yet how good you are. And Father, I pray now as we look into your word that you would remove the distractions from us. I know a number of these kids haven't slept much. They've got a lot of other things in their mind, but I pray that you just take these things away and that we'd be able to think about what really matters, and that we'd be able to hear your Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, showing us how great you are and how great your Son is, the Lord Jesus. We just pray this now in his name. Amen. Well, we talked a little bit last night about God and what God is like. We started saying that God is infinite, and that we can't, with our own minds, begin to comprehend what God is like. He's not like anything at all we know. But that this God is so great, wants to know us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And so what has he done? He's made us spiritual creatures, we said. And that this spiritual creature is not like unfortunately people sometimes say, well, is my dog going to go to heaven, my cat going to heaven? Well, the difference between you and a cat and you and your dog is you are a spiritual creature. Your dog or your cat is not a spiritual creature. I'm sorry to say that. Well, no, I'm not. It's the truth, okay? You are a spiritual creature. God made you that way so he could have fellowship with you. God wants to have fellowship with you. But the question then comes, if this God is so big, so infinite, so almighty, how can I have fellowship with him? And that's where I'd like to look at today. How can we get to know God? How has God showed us himself? And there's three different ways we'll see in Scripture how God's done that. First of all, if you have your Bibles, open them please to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of who? The glory of whom?" Okay, we're kind of working on one cylinder right now, and I think this is supposed to be an eight-cylinder machine. So we'll try this again. The heavens declare the heavens declare the glory of?
God.
Ah, that's better. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows his handiwork. Shows what God's work is like. It says day after day utter speech. Every day is talking about the glory of God. So the first place we can see God revealing himself is where? Anybody? In his creation. We can see God revealing himself in his creation. Okay? Some of you guys reveal your handiwork in places like your bedroom. If I were to go in your bedroom, I would get to learn a little bit about you, maybe a lot. As I start to sort through the piles and heaps of dirty laundry, the myriads of other things, papers laying around, I begin to see what you're really like. Obviously, odors do not affect this person. Clutter is not an issue. But they do like maybe this person or this person that's posted on their wall. I slept last night in the room of a person who had Ottawa Senators hockey cards stuck all over the place. And it wasn't Gregor's room. It was his sister's room. I never expected that of her. I expected better of her. No, just kidding. But I get to learn something about you as I see those things, because it tells me something about you. I'm a teacher, and I used to see people handing in their schoolwork. And some people, they write so precisely, so nicely. Other people, it's kind of like Egyptian hieroglyphics. Okay, all right, and you figure it out as you read it. It tells me something about you. What you wear, the way you wear it, how you carry yourself. All of it tells me something about you. Well, as we look around us in a creation, it tells us something about God. Like I said last night, if you haven't done it, you've got to do it sometimes. You've got to go out on a clear day and look up at the blue sky, lay flat on your back and look up at it, and just try to take it in. And then do it sometime at night. Just look up at the stars and see how far away they are. And you begin to get appreciation how big is our universe. And then you start looking at all the different creatures that God has made. And God has left his stamp on every one of them. And I know that all of you, if you're going to public school, are getting fed the stuff that says that all of this has happened just by accident. That it just happened to land there. But you know something? The more you look at it, the more you have to realize that it's not by accident. Because if you start and think about it, and I was thinking about this recently, they tell you that all of these animals started off in some primordial soup, and out of this primordial soup came this microorganism, and this microorganism developed into a macroorganism, and finally you had some animal. But one thing they never tell you about is how this animal learned to do all this stuff. Because I have a question for you. If your mom or dad has a degree in something, does that mean you know that stuff? No. You have to learn it for yourself. A baby doesn't wake up and come, you know, out comes the baby. Mom's looking at the baby, and the baby's already talking and saying, yes, his dad happens to be a physicist, and so he's spouting all these physical theories and going, blah, 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 and his dad's like, wow, what a prodigy, just like me. No, the baby wakes up, or he's born, and then what happens? The first thing they really do, all a baby does, no mothers here, I hope, but all they do is they eat, sleep, and poop, okay? Seriously, you'll find that out when you get to that age. They just seem to have no end of it. But he's got to start there, and then he starts to grow, and he starts to learn things. Now, go back again to the animals. Who taught these animals everything they know? Right now, you're seeing all the birds coming back to North America. Now, they're going to lay eggs. And what are those baby birds going to do? Without anybody telling them, one day they're going to get up and start flapping their wings until finally they get enough strength, and then they're going to head south. And now nobody's got for them a GPS. Now our airlines have GPSs on them. And those air pilots, you know what they have to do? They have to plot a course. And they have to take into it all the different factors, because if the wind's blowing this way, they have to plan to offset that and hit this way enough to offset the blowing of the wind so that they land at the right place. Well, nobody's telling the bird, okay, bird, we have an easterly wind at 45 knots per hour. You need to take that into account in order to be able to reach your destination. No, these birds get up and off they go. And they fly for days, and they land at the same spot where their mom and dad took off the year before. How do they do that? Who told them this? Who said to them, wake up and go do this? Who put that in them? It was God. Who teaches the salmon fish when he's born, his little egg? Mom doesn't hang around and say, okay, son, follow me. No, mom comes up, lays the egg, and dies. How do you like that for a birth? Welcoming. Hello, son. I'm dead. Dies. The egg grows, you got the fish, and then the fish starts swimming around, and he heads off to sea. He goes out to the sea. Now, you got to admit, the sea's big. Swims around in the sea, and then comes back to the same river, swims up this river, jumping over falls and everything, and lays more eggs in the same place. Who told him to do this? Like, this is not Oh, I think I'll choose this river this year. Oh, good choice. You know, that's happened to be the same place your mom came from. No, they do this automatically. This is not accident, folks. This is design. Somebody put that in them to do exactly like that. And who did that? It's God. God left his fingerprints everywhere. Wherever you look, if you're willing to take it into account, you're going to see God's fingerprint plastered all over creation. Go to tiniest little microorganisms and you see God there. Go to the biggest things and you see God there. And the amazing thing is people, the scientists are still finding out more and more and more and more stuff. And you know the sad part is? The more they reject God, the more they're stumbling over themselves to try to explain all this stuff. But as soon as you take God into the equation, all of a sudden, everything, it just makes so much sense. Because there's so much order there. There's so much design. You can see that somebody laid this all out. And you get to see a bit about our God, that God is an orderly God. Have you ever stopped to think what we're doing right now? Yeah, you say, we're sitting here listening to you. But aside from that, we are sitting here on this globe that is spinning. But it's not just sitting still spinning, it's inclined, and it's inclined at, anyway, it's amazing, but I'm going to give you the abbreviated version. It's spinning on an angle, but it's not just doing that, it's going around the sun. Do you realize we're moving at 13 kilometers a second? Whew. And you don't feel it. How is that possible? We're sitting here. What if God decided for 5 minutes to let go of the theory of gravity? Oh, so we'd be hanging on to his leg. Come down here. We'd be floating, bouncing off the ceilings and everything. Think of all the stuff floating around. But no, God has designed us so we float by gravity. They've recently discovered with the guys in space station all the negative effects on their body, the lack of gravity. Little things that we've never taken into consideration. God knew we needed gravity, so he made the earth have gravity and just enough so that our bodies grow like they grow. Some grow big, some a little smaller, but nevertheless, God designed it like that. It's all his plan, and I challenge you to look at it to see how well he designed it all. He's left his fingerprints everywhere, and don't let anybody deceive you into thinking anybody but God did it. Because it's only when they reject God, turn their back on God, that they have to come up with every other possible ludicrous theory. But when you start looking back, do your research, and you find out how many things, how many scientific discoveries have been made by Christians. Why? Because we're going to find out that God is omniscient, and God is the source of all knowledge. So if we start with God as the bottom line, then we can build on that. But when we erase that baseline, we've got no foundation. And we've got to go somewhere else, which doesn't make any sense. So the first place God shows us himself is in his creation. And I'll let you research that a little bit more for yourself. The second place we find that God reveals himself is through his word. God has given us his word to know him. And I don't know what your habit is, but if you want to know God, this is the place you need to go. You need to get in his word and you need to read it. Now, you can't learn about God if you never read his word. It's just a simple matter of, it's kind of like you're never going to learn your math if you never do the math work. You're never going to learn about God if you never read his word. And now, I don't know what your habit is, but I encourage you, every day, read the Word of God. This is for your benefit. You will learn about God. You'll learn what he's like. You'll learn what he has for you, and it'll feed your soul. You need to read the Word of God. And you may say, yeah, but I'm a busy guy. You know what? I've got a lot to do. You know what? I still think of Joe McHale. I don't know if you got how many of you guys remember Joe McHale. He's a doctor. He was a doctor at Children's Hospital in Toronto. He worked like 80 hours a week. He would go home and read all these research magazines. And you know what he said? That before he would speak on a book of the Bible, he would read it 100 times. He'd read the book. He talked about, I was reading through, reading through 1 Samuel chapter 18, the 100th time that all of a sudden, it was the 75th time that I realized something. I'm going, you read it 100 times? Are you crazy? Like, this guy's, he's busy up to there, and he's still reading that much out of his Bible. And if he can do that, like, all the rest of us can take 15 minutes out of our Nintendo or girls from putting on their makeup and just to be able to read the Bible. Think of that. How much time out of your day you could squeak out if you really wanted to. If you were really dedicated, you could squeak it out. I know you could. Because if there's something else important, you could do it. So why not make this the priority? Because this is your life. The God, like we said last night, the God of the universe wants a relationship with you. He designed you for one purpose, and that's to fellowship with him. So why don't you get to know him? Why don't you get into his word? Because that's where he's shown himself. That's where you're going to learn what God is like. This is the source of it all. And I want to share something else here right there too. You're going to hear lots of preachers get up, and they're going to say great and wonderful things about God. But this better be where they're going to teach it from. Because if they don't show you from the Word of God what he's like, then you can say very easily, I don't believe it. Show me from the Bible. Because this is where God has shown us himself in his Word. And so if you have any doubts, go to the Word of God. And if you don't find in there, you're justified to be skeptical. Don't just believe it because I say it. Don't believe it because some guy gets up here and says something. You say to them, show me from the Word of God or I won't believe it. And God, if you're serious, God will show it to you. Because that's what he wants. It says that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they went home and searched to see if it was so. And this was Paul the apostle. Paul was preaching his thing, and they're going home and saying, ooh, is that right? Is he really true? Oh, yeah, hey, this is neat. And they were listening. So first of all, God's revealed himself through creation. Secondly, through his word. And thirdly, if you have your Bibles, please, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. So first of all, in creation. Secondly, through his word. And in his word, we see God saying things like, be ye holy, for I am holy. He says in John, 1 John, he says that God is love. Some of it's very clear like that. Sometimes God says specifically what he's like. Other times we learn what he's like through different accounts. And we'll look at some of those over the next, next day or so. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. And it says there, speaking about... Speaking there, it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Who is this person? Who is the exact image of God? Who is this person? Anybody? Jesus Christ. God has revealed himself to us through his Son. Now stop and think what this means. You and I are sinners. From the moment Adam and Eve sinned, God's purpose was to show us himself. But he didn't leave it up to us to see it through creation. He didn't leave it up to us to learn it through the law that he gave to, by means of Moses. God said, no, that's not enough. Every one of those things was pointing to the day when one day in a little town of Bethlehem that he would send by means of a virgin a baby who would be born and who will grow up. And who was this baby? It was his own Son. Now stop and think of this. God, who is infinite, God, who is spirit, would send his Son, and his Son would take a body. I don't understand that completely, to be honest with you. It's what the Bible says. But Jesus took a body. He became a man. and he was born and he grew up. Why? Why did he do that? It's so you and I could know God. So that not only so we could know God, but that so we could have forgiveness for our sins and we could have eternal life. Young people, God is serious about this. He's very serious about you and I having a relationship with him. He's so serious that he died for it. That's how serious he is about it. Now the question is, are you willing to get serious about this? Because he's committed to it. And one day we're all going to answer for it. And we're going to look at him. And maybe you say you're a Christian here today. And you're going to stand there because the Lord Jesus is going to be our judge. And the Lord Jesus is going to be for the Christian. The Lord Jesus is going to be the judge, not the judge to condemn, but the judge to reward. And we're going to go up before him. And I don't know how it's going to play out. But it says that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I wonder what it's going to be like for you and for me when we go before that judgment seat and we see the hands still with the nail prints and we see the brow where they jammed the thorn crown on his head. And I don't know what else we'll all see on him. And he'll say to us, well, you didn't do an awful lot, did you? Welcome, but I've got nothing to give you because you did nothing. Is that what you want to receive up there? When you see what he gave for you, he gave it all. He came and he died. What is your attitude? What is your response to that? He's committed to this. He's in this 100%, young people. And if you are willing to commit to him, you're going to find out that he has something for you that is literally out of this world. He has something for you, a plan for your life. Because remember last night we said that God's way is perfect. And not only is God's way perfect, because it's perfect and he always does what is perfect and right, we can trust him. And so are you willing to trust him with your life? Are you willing to commit to him and say, you know what, I want to know God, because when you know what God is like and you know who God is, you're going to find out what his plan for your life is. And I can guarantee you it's nothing like anything you'll find in this world. But he wants to show us what he's like through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a perfect example. Who is the exact image of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. God came down to this earth. Think of it. God allowed man to take him. The infinite God, who with his word, remember when they came for him in the garden, and all these men came with their swords and their sticks and that, and they came to get him, and the Lord Jesus said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And what did he say? I am. And they all fell backwards and fell down. Just saying that was enough to knock them over. And then what did he do? Take me away. And they led him away. And because his words would have convinced them of their own sin, half the time he was silent. He didn't even answer their questions. He just let them talk until finally they would take him and they'd beat him and then they'd hang him on the cross, all for one reason. He could have proved his innocency. He could have proved how wicked they were, but he was silent. Why? Because he came to die for our sins. That's what God is like. Because you see, if you want to know what God is like, it's all pointing in one direction. It's like there's a big arrow pointing at the same place. Have you ever seen those neon signs with those lights, blink, 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 and they got the arrows pointing in one direction? Or these little lights, and they're pointing bowling, and they're all pointing like that? Well, that's what all these things about God is pointing at. It's pointing at the cross at Calvary, because at the cross, we really learn what God is like. We learn how great his love is. We learn how great his mercy is. We learn how great his righteousness is. Because he punished his own son at the cross. If you doubt that God is committed to knowing you and to having a relationship with you, you go back to the cross and you see how committed he is. He's so committed, he died for this. He's serious about this. He wants to know you. He wants to have fellowship with you. And that's why he sent his son, so that he could come to this earth and have a relationship, make it possible, so that by means of his son dying, he paid for your sins. So now what do we do? By repentance, by me admitting, yes, I'm a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for my sins, I can have forgiveness for my sin, and I can then be a son of God. And now I can come to God, and he can show me all that he's like, all the greatness of his glory, of his person. Just, it's like, can you imagine walking into the richest person in the world, or into the Queen of England, and her saying, I'd like to show you my queen. You know, the queen's a little old right now. Come with me, young man. I'd like to show you what my kingdom is all about. And she starts to guide you through Buckingham Palace, and then through all the other palaces she has. Can you imagine doing that? Well, the God of heaven wants to say to you, and he's not going to be like the queen, come with me, young man. He's, come with me. I want to show you what it's really all about. And just like Moses last night, it's not like God's kind of saying, well, no, I don't really want to do this, and I don't want to do that. It's almost like God's waiting for you to say, I'd like to see this. Yeah, sure, come on. I'd like to show you. But so many times, you know what, it's like we're sitting there, oh, yeah, oh, cool, man, cool. Yeah, yes, that's okay, I don't really care. And he's saying, man, are you guys dead? What's the problem? I want to show you this, and you don't care. What? It's up to you. Because, look, turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, and I'm just going to read a couple verses starting at verse 2. Solomon's talking to his son, and he says, so if you incline your ear, you bend down your ear to wisdom, and you apply your heart to understanding, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. It's like this, young people, if you want to know God, it's not for casual observers. God's not into it. You're kind of saying, oh, yeah, well, whatever. Okay, show me what you want. No, that's not the way God works. Because if you look back in Exodus chapter 20, you know what happened? God came down to the children of Israel, and God wanted them to know what he was like. And he came down on the mountain, and it says the mountain, there was thunders and lightning, and the mountain was literally shaking, and it was covered with a cloud, a dark cloud. And there was sound of a trumpet so loud that the people were afraid. And God invited them to come close to the mountain. But you know what the people said? No, no, no. And they backed away. And they said, it says they stood afar off. And guess what they did? They said to Moses, Moses, you go talk to him. You talk to him and tell us what he says. And we'll listen and we'll do it. And so guess what happened? Moses went close. And in case you think that Moses was a brave, fearless man, if you read in Hebrews chapter 12, you know what it says there? Moses says, I trembled exceedingly. Moses was literally shaking in fear at what he saw. But he knew that this was the God of Israel who was calling him to come close, not to back off. You think God brought him there to wipe them all out? No, he brought them there so that they could know him, what he was like. And Moses said he feared exceedingly. He was shaking in his boots, but he came. And what happened to Moses? Who of all the people at that time got to see God? Moses. Who was the one who went up in the mountain? And get this, it says twice Moses went up in the mountain. And he spent how many days without eating? Anybody remember? 40. But now a question for you. What else did he not do while he was up there? He didn't drink. Do you know that they say we only last 7 to 8 days without water? Moses, the Bible says it. He says, I didn't eat or drink for 40 days. Why? This is amazing. I don't understand it. But when he was with God for 40 days in the mountain, he didn't need to eat or drink. Amazing. God took care of him up there. But Moses went up that mountain, and he got to know God. So much so that he said to God, God, show me your glory. Show me what you're like. And God did. God answered him. So if you want to know God, this is not the casual thing that, oh yeah, whatever. No. This is the intensity that if you were going searching for gold or silver, that you would use then. If you ever get a minute, you want to read up about the Yukon gold strike and the one in California. How people literally left everything to go searching for the gold. And you know something? This is way better than that, because in their case, they didn't know if they were going to find gold or silver. But in your case, if you will search for God, you will find him. That's the difference. You will find God if you search for him with all your heart, because he wants you to find him. And so the silver is there to be found. It's only up to you whether or not you're going to commit to it, if you're going to search for him with all of your heart. And it says that he will be found of you. But if you look in the Word of God, can anybody think with me for a minute? I know you guys are a little tired, so I'll get you to do a little mental exercise here. How many people in the Bible actually saw God? They saw his glory. Can anybody think of a couple people who did? Name me one. John? Paul? Yes, when he went up, it doesn't say specifically, but he says he was up in heaven, he brought up into heaven, yeah. Jacob, when he saw the ladder, okay, yeah. Anybody else? Isaiah? Ezekiel? Peter? Daniel? So there's a number of them that saw the glory of the Lord, didn't they? And you know one thing you find in common with them all when they saw it? It says they fell down. John, when John saw it, he says, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. And what did the Lord Jesus do when John saw him like that? It says the Lord Jesus went over and touched him. And the first thing he said is, don't be afraid. Because just like Moses, when we see God like he is, it's going to instill fear. But that's not what he wants. He wants us to know him. And so he lifts us up and he shows us what he's like. Because young people, just like John, God wants you to have a relationship with him. Because how many disciples did Jesus choose? 12. Of those 12, how many went up in the Mount of Transfiguration? 3. And of those 3, which was the one that laid on the Lord Jesus' breast, it says? 1. It was John. The point is this, there was 12 disciples with the Lord Jesus. I haven't got 12 fingers, but 12, 2, 12. 12 disciples. Of those 12, 3 were close to him. But of those 3, 1 was intimate with him. Of the children of Israel, of 1 million people, how many people went up in the mountain? 2. Who was the second one? Joshua. You don't read much about Joshua, but he was there. Joshua went up in the mountain. How many people got to see the Lord's glory? 1. Young people, God is not hiding himself in a closet saying, no, 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 don't let anybody come in. Don't let anybody see me. No, God is willing for each one of you to come close to him. But I'll tell you what the problem is. There's very few people who are willing to commit to knowing God. In the Bible, there's only a few people, like we just mentioned, who saw God's glory. And why is that? Because all the rest of them didn't really care enough to commit to it. And so the question is, do you want to get close to God? Are you willing to stay kind of at a distance? Are you willing to have kind of a passive relationship with God? Just, oh, yeah, that's okay. I come Sundays. I have, you know, I read my Bible. I'm a good Christian. But you're kind of at a distance, because that's not what God wants. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. Because remember what it says in John 1:14. It says that we beheld his glory. And I'll guarantee you, when you see God's glory, you'll never be the same. Let's just look a quick verse here. I want you to see in Psalm 25, verse 14. Psalm 25, verse 14. It says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." And the idea there was secret. Does anybody get a different word instead of secret? Anybody at all? The friendship. Anybody else? Mystery. The idea is the communion or the fellowship of the Lord is with those that fear him. God wants to have fellowship with you. And what is fellowship? It's a communion back and forth. It's talking. Last night, some of you guys had fellowship. You talked till about 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. And then around that time, the communion kind of died off and the communion with your eyeballs kind of kicked in for a few minutes. And right now, it's kicking in a bit more with some of you. But communion is talking back and forth. It's because you have some point of relationship with these other people. You're talking about, yeah, you remember when we were at camp, we did this. Yeah, oh man, that was so cool. And you remember these things. You've got a point of communion. And then he says, oh, and he starts to tell you about something else. But you have a basis of contact, of understanding. It's a relationship. Well, if you're a Christian, you have a basis of communion with God. And he wants to talk with you. He wants to fellowship with you. Just like you talk with your friends, but on a different level. Not about, yeah, man, I was hanging out. Did you watch the hockey game? Did you see her? Did you see him? Blah, blah. No. He wants to talk about other things. About things that concern him. Things that are on your heart. That's what his fellowship is like. The secret or the communion with the Lord is with those that fear him. And you know what? Maybe some of you here are really involved in your local church and you're busy. Now that's important and that's very good. But you know what's more important than that? Is your fellowship with him. Because we talked last night, how are you going to serve somebody you don't know? God first wants you to know him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. So that if you are serving him, you're doing it because of what you know about him. Of what you want from him. Or what he wants from you. And not because, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. And ultimately, look in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9, Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Of all the things that we know and all the things that we may claim to be, look what he says is the most important. In Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor let the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." God says very clearly, and you can put your own self in this, what you think is your greatest attribute. Maybe you are very intelligent. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Maybe you think, well, I am the cutest, or I am the most handsome in all of this region. You know, in the whole world, why not be honest about it? You know, you're thinking that to yourself, obviously. I'm not saying that. You're thinking that, man, I am just stunning. And God's saying, let not the beautiful or the handsome glory in their beauty. Because, you know what, give yourself 25 years and you'll look like a dried up prune. And then you got some of these hunky guys here and they're kind of walking around like this, you know. Because they've got so much muscle, they just can't get their arms straight, you know, like that. They just hunks. And they're thinking, man, I am the hunk. And God's saying, let not the hunk glory in his hunkiness. Okay? It's true. And some of you girls, you're just the epitome of, you know, whatever's cool. I don't know what all the stuff you girls talk about. I see it, but I don't understand it, okay? And you're thinking, I am the epitome of a girl, you know, what the girls should be. And what is he saying? Think about it, girls. Think about it, guys. How long does this last? I mean, seriously, look at me. Like, it wasn't too long ago. I was in your shoes sitting there listening. Thinking, man, I got everything happening yet. And now look at me. I'm skinny. I'm getting old. I'm getting creaky. You know, parts of me don't work like they used to. It goes fast. If I'm going to glory in my handsomeness or my strength or anything like that, I better do it fast because it's going to be gone before I know it. So what is the one thing that lasts? What is the one thing that's eternal? God. That's the one thing we can hold on to that doesn't change. So what does he say? Don't get all excited about this because who gave it to you? Who made you look like you look like? Now some of you are thinking, I wish he changed it a little bit when he'd done the work on me. But be that as it may, God has given you what you are and he saw fit to make you just like you are for his glory. So don't get hung up on that. Get hung up on the one who made you what you are. And glory in that. And you say, well, you know what? I really don't know what to think about God. Well, then that's why I'm telling you, get into his word, read what he's like, so that you can say, man, I never knew this about God. This is amazing. This is astounding. And I had hoped today to start talking right now about how God is eternal and God is unchangeable, but we'll have to wait for that. But young people, all the things that you are concerned about right now, so many of you are concerned about, you know, well, I gotta go to university, or I gotta finish my high school, and I gotta do this, and I gotta do that, and all this stuff. How long does that last? 125 years from now, will it really have mattered? Probably not. But one thing will have mattered, and the one thing that'll have mattered is what you did with God, because that'll last for eternity. And so let's not get distracted with the things that don't matter. Let's occupy yourself. Let's search for the things that matter to have that relationship with God that he wants specifically with you. He wants to know you. He wants to fellowship with you. Now, do you want to fellowship with him? Do you want to know him? Really, it comes back to you. What is it that you want? And what are you going to occupy your time with? Let's just close with prayer, please. Father, we thank you now for that you've revealed yourself to us and that you did it in creation, you did it through your word, and most of all, you did it through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You've opened yourself up. It's hard to believe that an almighty God would make it possible for us, sinful, fallen creatures, to know you. But yet you've done that, and Father, we thank you. And I pray that you would whet our appetites so that we would have this insatiable hunger to know you, and that we'd settle for nothing less than to know you personally. Lord, I just pray that you'd arouse us in each one of these children, Father, each one of these young people, that they would leave here wanting to know you, and not only to know you, but to glorify you, and then to tell others about you. Lord, we thank you now, and we praise your name for how good a God you are. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.